I'm going to begin what I think is going to be a mini series regarding your new identity. And we're going to begin this today, but it is of such immeasurable importance to God. And so I thank God for his purpose being accomplished, and I thank God for his anointing accomplishing what he desire in this. Because at the end of the day, the effectiveness of it is not what is proclaimed, is not how it goes forth, it is what it does in you. It's what it produces in you that determines God's heart and dream and desire being satisfied. I'm titling today's message, Your New Identity is the New You. Now, resist, don't let what you have known to this point be a hindrance from going further. And I say that because, you know, revelation knowledge is a very important and necessary thing. Having the right information does not mean you have revelation knowledge. Knowing what the scripture says does not mean you have revelation knowledge. Nor does it mean that your mind is renewed. There are many doctors that can tell you in lots of specific detail how detrimental and how dangerous and smoking is. And they certainly are filled with those with that information. In other words, if you were to think about it this way, they have all the scriptures on it. But yet they could have a smoking habit that will destroy them. So even though they have the knowledge of it, their minds are not really renewed. Because you see, your mind is only renewed when the way the word of God is written and how God thinks is how you think. Amen? And so it is with revelation knowledge. The Spirit of God needs to reveal it to you. And sometimes we can have hindrances, we can have blockages, we can have veils in our minds that will hinder us from getting a hold of that which God wants to unveil and God wants to reveal to you. Not just because of pride, because pride is a hindrance, and God will reveal himself to those, to the meek will he show his way. But sometimes it's not the issue of pride that can hinder us. It is simply the knowledge that we have about a particular verse of scripture that we can think what we know about that scripture, and not pridefully, but even in humility, what we know about that scripture, when we go look at that scripture again, we are somewhat limited by what we have known to that point. And when there is something more, it can just miss us. So I say that to you as a bit of a warning, but also to provoke you to open up your hearts and your minds and don't allow what you have known to this point to hinder you from what God wants to yet reveal and unveil to you to take you to the other level. Amen? All right, so we're talking about your new identity is the new you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16 says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. We don't know any man after the flesh. I would like to believe that even as we would come out of this message and these messages to come, that we would no longer know ourselves after the flesh, but that we would know ourselves after the Spirit. That you would see yourself not in the realm of your humanity, but you will see yourself as God sees you, that you will see yourself after the inner man, after that spirit man, after that man that has been created in Christ, that hidden man of the heart. So therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we don't know him, thus no longer, nor ourselves. Verse 17, and this is why we're here. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Now, the old King James says, he is a new creature. He is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Again, as I said, some translations, including the new King James says, new creation. Now, I there is a bit of a difference that I think is important, as much as they both are true. Because when we think about a new creation, our thinking moves to the fact of what is done. Our thinking is, let me see how I put this, because I want to capture this correctly. When we think of new creation, the emphasis is on the creation of the new man. And that's not where it really, really ought to be. It is not just about the creation of the new man, but rather it is about the man himself. It is about the being. It is about the new creature that he is. You follow me? It is about him. If any man is in Christ, it's not just that there is this new creation that God has done and that act of creation, but rather there is a new creature, a new being, a new species, so to speak. We'll come back to that a little bit later, but I just thought I'll mention that. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God. Now, the scripture says in John chapter 1 and verse 12, it says that in John 1 verse 12, but as many as receive him, to them give he power and authority to become the children of God. That is, to those who believe in him, those who adhere to and trust in him, those who believe even in his name, he gives the power to become the children of God. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but they were born of God. We owe this birth not to because of some human entity or intervention. It was not because of the will of the flesh from some physical impulse, nor to the will of man from a natural father. But this is a new birth it is of God. We are born of God. Now, you and I, you did not give birth to yourself. All right? That's deep, isn't it? You didn't make you. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So you were born again of the water and of the word. Or you are born again of the word of God. And you are born of the Spirit of God. You didn't decide when. You didn't decide who you are or what you are. You were just born, and here you are. You are born again. You are a new creature. You had nothing to do but who it is that you turned out to be, who it is you are, who it is that God has made you, who you are in the new birth. You didn't give birth to yourself, and you didn't come up with the idea of who you are to be. James 1 verse 18 in the Amplified says, it is of his own free will that he gave us birth as sons by the word of truth. And he is the word, and he is truth. By the word of truth, so that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. There is that word again. A sample of what he created to be consecrated to himself. You know, sometimes we fuss over the will of God, but really, the will of God is not to be as complicated as we make it out to be. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 says, this is the will of God, even our sanctification. Just to function in the capacity where you are separated unto God, you are not your own, but you belong to him. You are his temple, you are his hands, you are his feet, and you are his, is to be in the will of God. Look at how simple that is. So we are born of the will of God, and we are to be a first kind, a first fruits of his creatures. Who are you? And let me say this. As we answer this question throughout this message, who are you? It is not for us to go away with an intellectual comprehension and understanding, but rather it is to cause a shift in our consciousness. If you've got a stranger, if you don't have a stranger living in your house, you should have no conscious awareness of a stranger in the house. And if you do have a stranger in the house that shouldn't be in the house, you ought to kick them out. Well, who is living in your house? You are the temple of God. God lives inside of you. And I'll tell you this right while we are at it. The old man is not there. He died and was crucified. Therefore, we are to have a consciousness only of God living on the inside of us. Christ in us is to be our consciousness and our awareness. We're not going here today, but I will say this in the weeks to come. When we come to grasp the reality of our new identity, that very new identity is your liberty. That very new identity is what will remove the limitations and bring you into the arena where you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you for real. It's going to all come out of this reality of your new identity. It is coming out of your new identity that it is from there there's going to be the supply of the grace of God so that you can live in a place of divine health in the midst of a crooked and a corrupt times and people that we are living in, where the world is in decay, where the world is suffering all kinds of corruption. Yet we can be in the midst of it all and not be touched by it. We can live in such a place and where we can so keep ourselves that the evil one touches us not. But that is only feasible and possible when we get a hold of the reality of our new identity, the new us that we are, and then bind ourselves and live in the reality of it. Be established in it. Are you with me? So this stuff is exceedingly important. So as we communicate this message here today, let it affect your consciousness. You know, the scripture says in 1 John 5 and verse 13, these things I've written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God. You who are born again and are the children of God. John says, these things I've written unto you that you might know that you have eternal life. What was he saying? I'm writing these things to you who are already born again that you might have a confident, conscious awareness that you've got eternal life and that nature of God is in you. Because you see, quite often, we are not aware of who we are. But the deceitfulness of the enemy will cause us to have a consciousness of the very person that Jesus died to kill and get rid of. So that we are living in a consciousness and awareness of the old man and all of his baggage, all of his humanity, rather than living in the reality and the consciousness of the divinity that you do have on the inside of you, wherein you are complete in Christ. And the life that you now live, it's the life of Christ. And until that changes, then we will not be able to reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. It will be an elusive dream to abound in grace. Are you with me? Because you see, the scripture says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 21, that you and I can frustrate and hinder the grace of God if we do not live in the reality of Galatians 2:20. You're crucified. It's not you, but it's Christ that liveth in you. The life you now live is the life of Christ. Without that reality, and when I say that reality, again, I'm not speaking simply about a comprehension and an understanding. I'm talking about an experience. I'm talking about living this stuff. Without living that, the grace of God will be frustrated. In other words, you will set the grace of God aside. This grace that our gracious, wonderful, life-giving, overflowing, goodness abundant, merciful, compassionate God is continually abounding towards us, that we would have all sufficiency. This God that is daily loading us with benefits, and all of this is coming at us. But because we are not functioning in the reality of who we are, we frustrate and we hinder and we set aside that grace. Think about that. Think about how sad that is. Think about the price that was paid. Why? So that you can have this grace, receive this grace, abound in this grace, and reign in this life by virtue of this free gift of righteousness. And not be reigned over, not be under, but be above only and never beneath. Be the head and not the tail. This is so important to God. So let it affect your consciousness. Who are you? You are who you are because God made you so. And I'm not talking in the natural. You are a new creature, a new creation. You are born of God. You are born of His Spirit. You are born of the incorruptible, immortal Word of God. In the natural birth, in the natural, we have to think we have what they call birth defects. They do occur. And the reason they do occur is because of flawed humanity. And sometimes because of a flawed, gene bank or what do you call it? What? DNA. Because of bad genes or whatever. But in the spirit, it's not like that. In the spirit, there are no birth defects. Hallelujah. You and I, when we are born again and born of divinity, the divine, holy seed of God, incorruptible, immortal, undefiled, His Word, born of His Word and born of His Spirit. You are beautiful. You are magnificent. You are perfect. No birth defects. You are perfect. Hebrews 12, verse 23 says, the Spirit of just men made perfect. Now you might be thinking about all the imperfection in your body and in your soul. Well, I'm telling you, that is not God reminding you of that. That is the deceitfulness of sin that always want to come along and say, yes, but, had God said, yeah, I know, but, no. Let's get that but out of the way. And let us focus and see as God sees. It says, in other words, God says, awake to righteousness. Come awake. Develop this conscious awareness of righteousness, of this oneness, of your sonship, of the life that you now have in resurrection. Awake to this consciousness. Be aware that you've got my divine nature. Be aware of that. Be aware of who you are in Him. The Spirit of just men made perfect. So who are you? You're spirit. You are spirit. You are born again of the Spirit and of the Word of God, and you are spirit. Paul calls it, well, we read James. James called it the first fruits of creature. Paul calls it a new creature. New creatures. Old things passed away. We are new creatures. But what do you look like? What do you look like in the spirit? Oh, magnificent. Say, I'm beautiful. I'm so beautiful. Oh, the scripture says that if the devil could not find a way to blind their minds, and they could see the glory and the excellency of Christ, they would just run after Him. That's why the God of this world blinded their minds. so that that glory and the magnificence of him don't shine in. Because he's so glorious. He is so wonderful. But so are you. You say, well, what do you look like? The word of God says in 1 John 4:17, as Jesus is, so are you. So are you. When you behold in the mirror, what do you see? The glory of the Lord. That which is the reflection of what's standing before it. The very essence of your born-again spirit, Christ, is your life. What is this new identity? Because this new identity is the real you. As Jesus is, so are you in this world. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature. Old things passed away, all things have become new. And as I was saying, there is a difference between not just the new creation, but the emphasis on the fact that we are new creatures. We are a new species, a species that never existed before. You know, you have, you know, every now and then they'll discover a new species of fish. And they'll discover some animal that they never saw before somewhere in the Amazon basin. And then they will say, oh, this animal, this seems to be part of it seems like another species from the cats, from the tigers and from that family of animals. Or here's another, hey, ye are sons of God. We are species of the God kind. We are not in the image of angels, but we are species of the God kind, partakers of his divine nature, new creatures. Jesus was the first of them, that in all things he might have preeminence, but so are we. And as he is, so are we in this world. You know, that is the reason why the revelation of righteousness will absolutely destroy any sense of inferiority. I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago on this particular person, but this is someone, they're looking for help, okay? This is on a particular platform, and so they described certain things that they were going through regarding, you know, in their workplace and how they're feeling and their family and a number of other things and so on and et cetera. And as I said, this is a person that they're asking, they were saying, you know, Pastor Ian, could you pray for me and so on and so forth. And I said to them, I shared with them, you know, I tell you what. First of all, I don't want to put you down. I don't want you to receive this as any kind of condemnation or anything like that. But you know something? When you're driving your car and all of a sudden there's some beep, 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 beep on the dashboard, there's a reason for it. And the reason for it might be you need gas. You're low on gas. Well, in the same way, if you're just listening to what you have said, and I repeated to them some of the things they said. And I said, you know, those things that you just said, what you have indicated to me, that was the beep going off in the dashboard saying, yes, you know about righteousness, but that righteousness has not become real to you. I said, because what you're saying, you know, when the very sense of inferiority, the sense of I'm not qualified, I'm not good enough, and all of these other things and that is echoed back to them, and they saw it. And I said, okay, I'll tell you what. I'm going to pray for you in a moment, but let me give you some homework. All right, and I gave them some homework. And so happened that it was yesterday, which happened a couple of weeks ago. But yesterday they called, and they said, hi, da, 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 da. And you can't remember the names of everybody. Right, you know, you just can't. Unless God brings it to your remembrance. And so they said to me, "Oh, Pastor Ian, I've been doing my homework." Right, and then they proceeded with some, and that was so cute. But why did I mention that? I mentioned that because you see, when we can see, when we grasp, and we get a hold of the reality of this new identity, that we are members, that we have a part, we are complete in Christ. We are part of his species. We have been raised up to operate in a realm with God. Members of the God kind. How can you have a sense of inferiority? To whom? Now, I'm not saying that you are to have a sense of superiority over people, but you certainly should have a sense of superiority where the devil is concerned and where circumstances and environment is concerned. Because when that very spirit of righteousness that causes you to reign as what? As a king. Well, kings have to have a kingly mindset. Amen. What am I saying? Who are you? You are a new creature. It's like seeing a strange animal pass by and you wonder, what kind of creature was that? Did you see that? Well, you are something that no one has ever seen before, that didn't exist. It's new. You are a new creature. Jesus said it. Let me flip quickly to this verse. Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 8, he says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it. But you can't tell where it come from, and you can't tell where it's going. What was that? So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You are a different type of being. You are a new creature. Say, I'm a new creature. All right. Now, as a new creature in Christ, Colossians 2:10 says, you are complete in him. You are complete in him. In him, you lack nothing. Within the DNA of that new creature that you are, there is no lack, no deficiency, nothing missing, but you are complete. You are perfect. You know, it's like, we're talking spiritual, but just for the sense so that we can relate to it. So it's like in the spirit, you got perfect parts. You got a perfect mind. You got a perfect will. You've got all perfect toes, perfect fingers. You are so perfect in all of your ways that the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, you are created in righteousness and true holiness. You are being regenerated. You have in that regenerated person that you are, your new nature is created in God's image. It is like God in righteousness, and it is as God in holiness. The new creation person that you are is so perfect, so complete, that back to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 and 18 says, that behold, everything, not only are all things passed away, but behold, check it out. Everything that is in you is now new. Everything. Behold, how many things? All things. Everything is new and is of God. Not only is it the peace of God and the joy of the Lord and the righteousness of God, but everything in that born-again spirit is not only new, but it is of God. You show me where the imperfection is. It is so perfect that there is no need for improvement. That is the very essence of perfection, is it not? The new you will not be any more perfect and complete in heaven or sometime in eternity than it is right now from the very moment that you are born again. Now, I know there's some maturing that needs to be done in your soul and your body. And so on, but we will get to that later. When a baby is born in the natural, that little wonderful, beautiful little baby, oh man, parents, you ever seen the parents treat a little baby? They come and they touch and they come their little fingers. Oh, what nice little fingers. Oh, look at his cheeks. And that baby has 10 fingers. Fingers are there. I mean, inside, if you could get, you will see lungs and liver. It's all there. That is a little person, but it's all there. But that baby doesn't know much about it, doesn't know about any of it. And over time, that baby discovers who they are, what they have. Well, so it is with us. When you are born again, you are absolutely perfect. But then here, there is the need for God, the Holy Ghost, to bring revelatory knowledge so as to reveal unto you what are the riches of the glory of what is on the inside of you. And to get you to see what is this mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. How? By the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That is the reason why we pray, and you ought to pray continually. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 to 23. Because we need that revelatory knowledge. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you and in the knowledge of who we are in you. Oh, that the eyes of our understanding would be opened, would be enlightened, would be flooded with light so that we can know what is the hope. What is the hope that we've been born again to? What is the dream that you have? That we would know what is the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. What it is that you've placed on the inside of us. What are all these parts that are in here and how they work? That we would know what is the exceeding greatness of your power. That power that raised up Jesus from the dead and set him at your right hand, Father. You raised us up together at the same time with the same power. And you made us sit with him. Oh, Father, we need to know that. Give us that spirit of wisdom and revelation. You've set us with him. Far above principalities, powers, might, dominion, and every name that is named. You've even given us the same assignment as him. Destroy the works of the devil. Declare unto the principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God. For we are his body. He is the head and we are the body. The church, the body of Christ. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. Oh, Father, give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That's why we pray that. Amen? Because we are all of this wonderful, glorious stuff. But unless the Spirit of God reveals it unto you, then we can't walk it out. And if we don't function in it, guess what? Abundance of grace, the gift of righteousness, reign in life as kings through the one Jesus Christ is just an elusive dream and doesn't become your experience. Amen. Christ, that is why, that is why it says meditation produces revelation. And revelation will produce motivation. Motivation will produce action. And not until you take action will you actually get fruit or results. So, as the Spirit of God unveils to us Christ in us, as we meditate, as we pray, as we look to the Lord, you know, to say, consider what he said and the Lord give you understanding. And as Christ is revealed to us, Christ is the life of our born again spirit. Christ in you. You are dead, it says in Colossians 3, verse 3 and 4. And your life has been hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, shall appear. Christ is the life of your born again spirit. Christ in you is the hope of glory. But now when that Christ in you is revealed, he's living inside of you. If any man have not the spirit of Christ, he's none of his. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5 says, examine yourself to see whether Christ is really in you or not. Because if he's not, then you're a reprobate. Amen? So Christ is in you. But as Christ is in you, is unveiled by the Spirit of God, and as you meditate in the word, then here's what happens. That meditation produces the revelation of Christ himself. Not just a cute little nice sounding scripture, but the revelation of Christ himself in you. You see, one of the things is we have to shift from having that mindset of our humanity and start having the mindset of divinity, God living on the inside of you. God inside minded, having that kind of mentality as opposed to that human mentality. Christ, when he is revealed as living on the inside of you, when that revelation comes, then as Christ is revealed in you, he will now move you from revelation to motivation. Because you see, he will now work in you both to what? Will and to do, and to do, and to do, and to do his good pleasure. Amen. It is your nature of your born-again spirit to obey God. When that nature rises up, you will do what he says. Obedience is the natural reflect and response of your born-again nature. Choices from humanity. So what happens is, as Christ is revealed as living inside of you, as the very life on the inside of you, and as he becomes alive and real on the inside of you, here he comes, and now he motivates you. And you move from revelation to motivation. And then when motivation comes, then what happened? In the very area where you are motivated, you do what? You take action. And then when you take action, what happened? From that place, the very place he is revealed, and from that place, then here comes, from the action comes results. What's results? Fruit. What do you mean fruit? He is the vine. You are the branch. He that abideth in me, the same bringeth forth what? Much fruit. And that fruit is manifestation. Amen? And that's called getting the results. Now you can taste and see. And all those doubting Thomases, here it is. I'm not limping anymore. That leg has grown out. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The reality of this new identity. So who are you? What is your new identity? Who is the new you? Without the knowledge of who you really are, I'll say it again, we will not be able to reign as God has designed it to be. Without the reality of our true identity, we will find ourselves living like a chicken, grazing in the midst of the grass, trying to find a worm. Instead of being God inside minded, instead of being able to soar like an eagle, like the eagle that God has made you to be, we will find ourselves operating and thinking like mere human beings instead of the new creature that you are in Christ. Instead of being God inside minded, 1 John 4 says, ye are of God, little children. You are born of God. You are of the God kind. You are of his species. You are a new creature. We're going to have that human mentality instead of a God is in me mentality. Amen? Ha, ha, ha. You know, let me say again, the lion. You know, the Bible uses the lion as a type in relationship to God and the eagle. Now, you know the thing about a lion, the scripture says in Proverbs 28, verse 1, that the righteous are as bold as a lion. And then there's another verse about a lion being the king of the jungle, and the lion not being afraid of anyone. Now, is the lion the biggest animal? No. I mean, the elephant is bigger than him. Is the lion the fastest animal? No. What is a fast animal? A hare? Deer? They're faster than him. Is the lion the smartest animal? Man, monkeys are pretty smart. But yet, the lion has a mindset and an attitude that I'm king of this jungle. And he radiates that stuff, and everybody around about him knows it. He's living in a superiority mindset. Why is that? What's different about him? It is his mentality. Well, what kind of mentality are we to have? You and I have the mind of Christ. Our mentality is greater as he that is in me. God lives on the inside of me. I'm God inside minded. I am righteousness conscious. I am conscious of the, and I'm aware that I'm joined to the Lord and I'm one spirit with him. I'm aware that I'm seated in heavenly places, in the place of ascension, far above principalities and powers. I'm aware and I'm conscious that the life that I used to have, that's not me. That's dead, buried, gone. This is my life. This life in resurrection. Established in ascension. That's my consciousness. Again, I'm not conscious of no stranger in the house. But I'm conscious that he is in the house and I am his temple. Are you with me? I'm talking about a mentality. This new identity is the real you. This new identity is the new you. So let's just consider for a little bit. Just as we asked, what is this new identity? Who is this? Who are you? Well, let's consider who you're not. Amen? That way you can rule some stuff out. And anytime anything that you are not shows up, you say, that's not me. What are you talking about? I mean, don't take the mail if it's not addressed to you, if it's not your mail. There's a lot of mail coming to your house constantly, coming to the temple of God, and it has labels of the old man. Not your mail. Condemnation, guilt, shame, not your mail. So who are you not? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, the first part says, old things are what? Passed away. You are not your old self. You are not defined by humanity. That's the reason why Philippians 3:13 says, forget. Forget those things which are behind. They are passed away. Well, how did they pass away? What happened? Well, here is what happened. When Jesus went to the cross, according to Galatians chapter 6, verse 3 and 4, according to Colossians 2, verse 12, God took you and I and placed us in Christ, tied us with Christ. We were baptized into Christ. But when we were baptized into Christ, wherever he went, the lamb was sure to go. Right? Wherever he went, we did. So when we were baptized into Christ, guess what? We were also baptized into his death. And when he was buried, we were buried with him by baptism into death. Bless God, when he raised up, we were raised up together with him to a new life. When he ascended, praise the Lord, we ascended. And God made us sit together with him. And of course, the blood and so on. But what happened? That old man, that old person with all of his humanity died with Christ in his death. Not only did he die, but he was also buried. That means what? You see, I think of it this way. Here is Harry. Uncle Harry. Remember Uncle Harry? The old man? He died. But then he had on this nice outfit, nice suit, tie, you know, and everything else. And he had a number of things connected to him. His history, his background, his humanity, you know, and all of this. His reputation, good or bad, all of that was connected to him. But now if we just leave Harry sitting there on the kitchen table And every now and then we come in and we pat his head and stuff like that and we idolize him. Not good. There is no finality. So what should we do with Uncle Harry? Bury him. But why you want to bury him? To get him out of sight. To get him out of your consciousness. Not only do you want to bury him, not only is he dead, but now you bury him and everything from his humanity goes under. You see, when you are baptized, water baptism is really, and this is just a tiny little piece of it. Check it out. We'll dig into it later. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But in water baptism, you go under. That going under is not just about death, but it is about burial. Going under, buried. Why? To get rid of the consciousness of anything that had to do with that old man. Do you got that? So, anything from the old man is no longer you. So what should you do? Lose it. Let it go. Loose yourself from it. Loose yourself from the memory. Loose yourself from the history. Loose yourself from who did what and what. Let's loose yourself from it all. By burial, the consciousness of him and everything that is attached to him is dead, buried, and gone. So now you have a new conscience, and you are only conscious of who's in the house. Are you with me? I'm only conscious of what's going on in my spirit. Anything else that's outside, No. I'm conscious of what's going on in here. So I now have a conscience, as it says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, that has been purged from every dead work. Every sense of accusation, every sense of wrongdoing, every violation, freed from it all. Oh, in my conscience, all I'm aware of is that the light in God. All I'm aware of is what's in the inside of here. Are you with me? All right. You are the temple of God. I'm going to, Hebrews chapter 10. Say my conscience. This conscience thing is bigger, man. Now, I know I'm just scratching the surface, but let's get a little scratching anyway. All right? Sometimes you feel better when you scratch a little. Amen. Sorry for that joke. Cancel that one. Beep, delete. Okay, fine. Hebrews chapter 10. This conscience stuff is so important. Hebrews 10:22 talks about being free from an evil conscience. It is so important that if we don't deal with this, getting rid of this, these wrong sin conscience, separation from God mind, if we don't, these accusations and condemnation, if we don't get rid of it, it will affect your fellowship and your communion with God, and it will affect your prayer life. Hebrews chapter 10, I'm just going just a tiny little bit. Having brethren, verse 19, boldness to enter into the holiest. How? By the blood of Jesus. By what? A new and a living way, which Jesus has consecrated and says to the veil of his flesh, this is the way. This is a new living way. This is how you are to live. This is where you are to function from. This is the holiest of holies. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Having our hearts freed from any consciousness of any kind of violation or any kind of accusation that can come from the devil, from the past, from there, from people. Being freed from all of that. In the full assurance of faith. So we don't have the wavering and the double-mindedness and the voice of emotions and the voice of the world and circumstances and all these issues that are directing and affecting this communion fellowship that you are to have with God. And from this place is where your prayer life is to come from. All about what? Conscience. Well, hey, look, guess what? That's the reason for the death and the burial, to get rid of some stuff. Death and burial. Man, you get a hold of this, I mean, accusations are going to come. But does it affect you? When you see that you are crucified, everybody else has been crucified, the world has been crucified, and all that has happened just in crucifixion, then when you add burial onto it, oh, I'm telling you, that's freedom. The humanity from the old man and your flesh is not your identity. It's not your identity. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 says, how he has redeemed us to God by his blood, out of what? Every tribe. Your ethnicity is not your identity. Your tongue, what language? Whether I used to speak French or Swahili or this or that. No. That's your culture. That's not your identity. Your people group, that's not your identity. Your ethnicity, not your identity. Whatever organization, maybe you are a part of the I don't know, the Girl Guides, or you're a part of the Engineer Society or panel. No. That's not your identity. You've been redeemed from all of that. In another place it will say, it will say in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, you've been baptized into Christ and you've been put into Christ, and you are, and there is no Jew, Gentile, male, female. That's not your identity. Amen? And I'm talking about, because we want to know who we are. What's my new identity? Well, we need to also know what identity we are not. Who we are not. So even if things that are trying, now, furthermore than what's dead, buried, crucified, even, now listen to this here, even the very things that will try to manifest in your body and in your flesh, that happened today, that happened yesterday, that's not you. That's not the new you. And because that's not the new you, that's not, when you sin, when you mess up, that's not your born again spirit. 1 John 3:9 says, your born again spirit, it is impossible for him to sin because the seed of God and the nature of God is in him. You say, but I messed up. Yes, you did. You sinned. Yes, you did. But it was not the new you. It was not your born again spirit. That's the reason why the scripture will now say, therefore, you are to mortify the deeds of your body. And don't let these things rule anymore. Present your body as an instrument of righteousness. That is why it will say unto you, you need to know this. Romans 6:6, that old man has been crucified. Because if you don't, you will not be able to come to the place where the body of sin would be destroyed and paralyzed. So that body and that flesh will keep doing body and flesh stuff. So it says you got to do something about that. But the way you do something about that is by walking in the spirit, and then you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's by letting that spirit life, that new life of righteousness and holiness, let that take over. And the fruit of that is going to be holiness. Romans 6, verse 16 and 18. I know that's a teaching. We'll go there another time. Romans 6, 11 says, reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin. Right? We're going to dig deep into that another time. But I just need you to know, this identification, this your new identity, is that born again spirit. Everything that is outside of that is not you. Amen? Here is the deal. God placed you in Christ on the cross to put an end to you in Christ's death. And then he buried you in Christ. Buried you so that he can free you and free your conscience from everything, whether it be success or failure or history or anything from your humanity, people, the world, and to set you free even from yourself. That's why he did it. So now let's resurrect what he already killed, to the point that you can lose all consciousness of I and me and my. We're not going there today, but I'm telling you, there is an awesome freedom in resurrection where your new life begins. Where there is not about you and I and me, that's gone, dead, buried, done with, finished. Jesus says, man, you get a hold of this. Whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed, free from yourself. Jesus says, look, you want to be my disciple? You want to be like me? You want to be like I am in resurrection and in ascension? Jesus says, this is what you have to do. You got to deny yourself. You got to reckon yourself to be dead indeed. And you got to take up your cross on which you died and follow me. Jesus says, that's how it works. So just as we turn the corner a little bit and wrap this up. So I'm trying to just ponder who you are not. So let's come. Let's follow Jesus into resurrection. In death, I'm crucified. But in resurrection, we are risen. Now, I'll get to that next week, Lord willing. But the I and the me is crucified and dead. But when I died, I died. But when I raised up, we rose up as the body of Christ. And in that we, he is able to do above and beyond what we could ever ask or think. So resurrection, or this, I'm just going to just get this a little bit out there. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Resurrection is where your new life, the new you begin. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to what? To a living hope. How? Through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. So when you are born again, that new life, we know I'm a new creation, all things have passed away. Well, when did it start? It started in resurrection. The old ended in death and burial. Now, until you discover and embrace this new identity that comes out of resurrection, like I said before, we aren't able to reign as we should. The new life that you have, this new creation life, began in resurrection. And because of that, you have now stepped into the very beginning of God's dream fulfilled. God looks at you and he smiles. You know why? He said, from before the foundation of the world, this was my desire to reproduce myself in them. This was my dream that Christ might be in them, the hope of glory. Now I've got it. This is the joy that was set before him. So you, that we might know what is the hope of his calling, that was a part of that hope. You have fulfilled God's dream by being born again and having the life of Christ as now your life. Say, I'm God's dream fulfilled. There is more to be done, but that's good right now. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is God that did it. It is God that did it all. It says, Ephesians 2 verse 5 says, while you were dead in trespasses and sins, he raised you up together with him. He did that. That resurrection work was his. Verse 6 is going to say, he raised you up together with Christ. And not only resurrected and made you alive together with Christ, but he made you sit. He made you sit in the place of ascension at the Father's right hand. He did it all. So here you are. You are born again. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, you are God's workmanship. You are God's handiwork. You are God's offspring. You are that which God has. You are born of him. You have his DNA. You are of God, little children. 1 John chapter 3 verse 2 says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because they didn't know him. But beloved, right now, say now. Now. Now we are the children of God. How come? We got his DNA. Say, I'm of the God kind. So, we are to awake to who we are in Christ. We are to become keenly aware of who we are in resurrection. Now, I know resurrection is not, we're now beginning, we're now stepping in to who we are. But, and God is still not finished. He's still not finished revealing to us this new identity. Remember, he has got to reveal it. He's still, because he's got some more, he wants to reveal as to who we are in ascension, seated in Christ at his Father's right hand. He wants to reveal unto us what he did, what he has already done. He wants to reveal those blessings that he's placed in the inside of you. He wants to reveal unto you some things about that ascension, where you live, that ascended life that you have. But let's stop here. Amen? Your new identity, that's the new you. Your new identity, that's the new you. Say, I receive that. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Say, Father, I thank you. I am a new creation. Old things have passed away. The old man, with all of his deeds, all of his attitudes, all of his baggages, all of his misfits, is dead, crucified, buried, and gone. And that's not who I am. And Father, I thank you. I've got a brand new life. The one that you ordained for me from before the foundation of the world. I have that life. It began in resurrection. It's a new hope I'm born again to. Christ in me is that hope. Christ in me is the essence of this new life. And I thank you. Now, Father, I'm asking you to unveil unto me the reality of this new identity, and that I would embrace it and be completely divorced from everything that is not who I am. I want to be established in Christ, in righteousness, in love, in the new nature, in the new creature that I am. Father, I thank you. I'm washed by the blood. I'm set apart by the sacrifice. Perfected forever by that one offering of Jesus. I thank you, Father. You are at work within me, both to will and to do your pleasure. Oh, it is so wonderful. It's so wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's have a seat just for a moment. Woo! Now, we have just begun. I'm encouraging us here, but everyone online, you stay hooked up for the next little while. Make notes, listen to the tape again, and then listen to the Spirit of God and see what actions you are to take. We are going to come to some actions in the next little while as to how you can be establishing this. But this stuff is real. This is what God's dream is, and this is what God is exceedingly passionate about this. He wants you to become and to experience everything that he has offered up his son for you to be and to become. Amen? Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ian. And on that note, what Pastor Ian is referring to, we are glad to let you know that we increased our ministry in a way to be able to reach people who cannot come on location, and to reach them on a different times of the week. Like if people cannot come on Wednesday, they can come on Tuesday. Like you can connect on these days. And how we did it is we have Zoom meetings. We have Zoom meeting. You might not be able to grasp it all as I'm saying it, but the best way to know about these dates is go to tlmh.ca. Under live, you can see them all there, even with the links to the Zoom meetings. The first one will be on Tuesday evening, 7:30. There's another one, the Bible study that we do on location. Now we stopped location. We're doing everything on Zoom to a later time. So Bible study on Wednesday evening is at 7. And there's a Bible study on Thursday at 1 p.m. And there's a prayer meeting on Friday at 7 p.m. All these Zoom meetings. The only service on location is going to be on Sundays at 11 o'clock at the same time. All right, so if you want to connect with us and you want all this information to be in your text or in your email to be have it handy, please email us to info@tlmh.ca. We are so excited about it because you can be from the comfort of your home, wherever you are, you can reach. If you have friends in a different country, in a different time zone, where the day one able to be better for them, you'll able to reach other people. This ministry is not only locally, it is for internationally. The message that you're hearing today, you're blessed with it. You know it's for every believer. Please spread the word. Amen? Amen. So, Father, after this announcement, if anybody wants to pray, we ask you to come to the front and we can pray with you. All right. Father, we thank you for the word that came today. May your Holy Spirit minister to us as we go in the daytime, in the nighttime, so it will spring up in our soul whenever needed. We give you thanks for the richness of your grace, for the richness of your word, and the Holy Spirit who is able to remind us of it and give us the understanding, the counsel, the might, the knowledge to be able how to process this information and live by it. We are blessed going out, but blessed coming in. We are the head, not the tail. We are above only, not beneath. We are the healed of the Lord. We are prosperous to be able to spread the gospel of the kingdom in this earth for the glory of your name. Amen. Go in the name of Jesus, surrounded with angels, covered with the blood of Jesus. Amen.